CliffCentral.com. We have none other than George Meany on the show now. How are you doing, George?
Good and you, Gareth?
Very good.
Very, very well.
I always like to see George on the show because it means that Friday has come and we can finally start enjoying our weekend. So, George, what do you got for us this morning?
Gareth, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but you've been to other countries, no doubt, and different countries drive on different sides of the road.
I've only been to Lesotho and Swaziland, so I don't know.
And in America, they drive on the right-hand side of the road.
That's right. Correct.
I wonder if you've ever wondered why we drive on different sides of the road around the world.
I know why the French and the British drive on opposite sides of the road. And that may be the template for which the other countries get to decide. So what happened with when marching armies in the Middle Ages would march past each other, and let's say, you know, they declared an amnesty or whatever. What happened was that you had lances and you had people on horses, and their weapons are on one side, and the other army, which was going in the opposite direction, had to have their weapons on the other side. Otherwise, the weapons would clash. And also, the armies would then find reasons to continue to fight. So isn't that the basic reason? The French used to have their lances off to the left, the English off to the right, so that they could march past each other without having to get in each other's way.
That is exactly, exactly right.
Wow.
Then it progressed after a while. So what Gareth is saying is spot on. Why do the Americans drive on the right? So the British,
because they're right wing fascists.
Okay. So part of the reason that the British are on the left and we're on the left is because the British, exactly as Gareth put it,
colonized
the chariots
us.
Would have to, they colonized us because the chariots would have to control the horse with your left hand and your strong hand. 90% of people, if you Google this, 90% of people in the world are right-handed and control the lances and the swords with their right hand. But it goes further than that. There is a weird story within all of this, and that Napoleon was left-handed. Okay, so Napoleon's tactic, and this speaks right into what Gareth was saying, and I'm glad he said it. We didn't coordinate this. Napoleon's tactic was to actually confuse his enemy by putting his lance and his sword in his left hand, because he was left-handed and controlling the horse from the right-hand side of the chariot.
Mm-hmm.
So Britain and France brought their driving...
In his case, not a chariot, but on horseback, you'd have the bridle in his right hand.
In his right hand and his sword in his left hand. So then, you fast forward a little bit to when cars were starting to be produced. And so how do they make this decision? Well, they looked at the furrows in the ground in Europe and in Britain. And the furrows in the ground suggested that the chariot was on the left-hand side of the road, because the furrows on the left-hand side were actually deeper than the furrows on the right-hand side.
That requires quite a lot of myth-busting type science, but I'll take your word for it. Okay.
Well, I mean, this is what I'm researching. So it suggests that the chariot or the wagon was a little bit heavier on the left-hand side of those furrows. But then you've got to answer the question, well, why does South Africa drive on the left? And you pointed it out, is because of colonialism. And 65% of countries actually drive on the right-hand side of the road, not the left-hand side of the road. So why do Americans drive on the right-hand side of the road? And it turns out that American history follows a little bit of a different path than chariots and fighting. And it was more about cargo hauling than it was about fighting. So when they hauled cargo with the wagons back then, it was easier to control a whole string of horses with your right hand than what it was to control a string of horses with your left hand.
Wow. So that's interesting.
And so the Americans ended up on the right-hand side of the road. And then you've got to ask yourself, well, why do places like Australia and other islands drive on the opposite side of the road? And that's because they don't have neighbors, so they don't have an incentive to change the side of the road. Whereas most countries in Europe that were driving on the right-hand side and others on the left-hand side changed because they had neighboring countries that would have to drive across the border. So they changed the side of the road that they drive on.
Well,
it's a little bit of
Lenise,
history on drive.
Lenise says in South Africa, you drive on what's left of the roads. That's a very good point. Lenise is our winner for the day. That's fantastic.
But here's an interesting question, Lenise. Which side of the road is safer? And that's the point I was getting to.
Do you want to guess this one, Leanne? You seem to know a lot about what's safer.
All I know is that it's unsafe to drive a left-hand driving car on the wrong side of the road.
Absolutely. I've never tried. I don't want to try. But it turns out that your dominant side, which is whichever side you write with, mm-hmm. if you're right-handed, 90% of the world is right-handed, mm-hmm. Your dominant side is your right eye. Okay. And left-hand side of the road, it turns out, is the safer side of the road to drive because you see the oncoming traffic in your visual spectrum than if you drove on the right-hand side. Not only that, controlling the steering wheel with your right hand in a left-hand drive country is a lot safer because the menial tasks like changing gears, putting on an indicator, all those things are then done with the weaker
hand. Yes.
So you
makes sense to me.
You basically need your strong hand for the steering wheel.
Exactly.
Use a strong hand, child.
What a bunch of children.
My germs.
So my final comment on this is why then?
Hang on, Sia's having an apoplexy. Just hang on. Sia's loving this. Oh, scary movie. What a great movie. Look at him. He's breaking down. Wait. Sia, start again. What did you?
Sorry, George.
Don't worry. You carry on with no apprehension.
He had like two strands of hair, but it always. Use my strong hand.
Well, at least, yeah, you know, when you've got your left hand free, you can fix your hair, do your makeup, and all those things.
Okay. I'm sorry.
What a stupid movie.
I need to watch that this weekend.
I love that movie so much. I'm with Sia. I'm going to watch that. Fuck it. That's such a great movie. And do you remember they're sitting in the movie theater and she says, "What is this movie?" And he goes, "I don't know." She goes, "Shakespeare in Love?" So good. Those Wayans brothers are genius people. All right, sorry, George. So you were trying to teach us something. Yes. And we've become children.
We're all children. Yeah, what do you mean? So you got to kind of then apply your mind to the fact that South Africa drives on the safer side of the road, and most of the world drives on the unsafe side of the world, the side of the road.
Right.
And so then you've got to ask yourself the question: so why the hell are we in the top ranked countries in road accidents?
Because we drink and drive, because our roads are a fuck up, and because we drive funny distances. We've got strange traffic operations. There are too many cars per
unroadworthy cars.
We have taxis,
drunk pedestrians, wayward pedestrians.
Any of the above? I mean, just all of those are factors, right, George? But you could probably give us the straightforward answer.
Oh, exactly, and that leads me straight into the next story, and that is Easter road deaths.
Oof.
So Easter road death toll was down by about 10% versus 2019. We can't count 2020 because nobody was going anywhere. So versus 2019, Easter road deaths were actually down. But during the 336 roadblocks over the Easter weekend recently, more than 178 vehicles were stopped and checked, issuing more than 32,000 fines, over 800 discontinuation of vehicles, and impounding of more than 780 vehicles. But listen to this. More than 438 motorists were arrested for driving under the influence, and 140 motorists were arrested for speeding and reckless driving. But what I can't understand is you're going on an Easter holiday.
Yeah.
Why would you drink and drive?
It's pretty wild. I think we've got to own up to the fact that we are not very responsible drivers in this country. You could put any kinds of rules in place. You could put any kinds of technology in place. I mean, if we had electric cars, we'd probably find a way of screwing that up as well in South Africa. We're just really crappy on the roads. And I speak for myself here. I mean, I'm a, you know, there are lots of people who won't drive with me because they think I drive very badly. I have improved. I know, Leanne, I know. I have improved. But, you know, if I think back to the number of chances I used to take, because I drove drunk a couple of times when I was in my 20s because we didn't have Uber or whatever. And I took chances, man. I go cold when I think about the risky behavior on the roads that I indulged in. And I think many people did. There's no excuse for it. I'm embarrassed about it now, and I'm lucky I'm alive.
Exactly right. So, you know, we need to get our act together. So that's a bit of a doom and gloom story. But, you know, feeding into what you're saying about, you know, electric cars, and we just had the recent R1 per liter fuel price increase.
Yeah, that's a horrible story. Talk about, I mean, the Easter death toll is one thing, but this is, for most people, this is just a step too far. And when we talked about this on the show the other day, I mentioned that obviously this hits poor people the hardest. And you've already told us, George, that more than half of that is government money. More than half of the tank that you pay for, you're actually paying straight to government.
Exactly. So how do you not pay that tax? And that's what I'm going to tell you, more of a positive story.
Okay.
How do you not pay that tax? Well, so what we did was we did some research on what are the top 10 most fuel-efficient cars in South Africa.
Okay.
And it turns out that they're not the little runarounds that you may think they are. And we were very surprised at this list. So Range Rover Evoque P300. Most of these on this list are actually hybrids. Talking about electric cars, Range Rover Evoque P300E R Dynamic does 1.9 liters, drinks 1.9 liters of fuel per 100 kilometers. Now, on average, to put that in perspective, most cars do around 10 liters per 100
kilometers.
That's
amazing, yeah. So that's a tenth.
Almost a tenth of the fuel consumption of a regular runaround, even your i10. The Jaguar E-Pace, which uses 2 liters per 100. The Volvo XC90, which I had the other day, beautiful car, 2.1 liters per 100 kilometers. And here's another one, a Porsche. You wouldn't imagine this, but the Porsche Panamera E-Hybrid, 2.2 liters per 100. The Range Rover Vela, 2.3 liters per 100. The BMW X5 45e, 2.5 liters per 100. And the Range Rover Sport, 2.8 liters per 100. And the list goes on. And there's another one, which is the Porsche Cayenne E-Hybrid, 3.4 liters per 100. And that's a very quick car.
That's fantastic. Mm. Fantastic. I didn't even know that.
I have a question on the
fuel consumption down like that. That's great.
Sadly, these cars are in the very, very expensive category. Doesn't help our challenge, Gareth, with those living with the lower incomes.
And ironically, governments still take a huge customs and excise duty on most of these cars as well. So you end up paying them the tax through another route. You just can't win with government. They're so greedy. Leanne, you had a question?
So remember the student days when we tried to make our petrol last as long as we could?
Yes.
And one of the things, or even nowadays, if you're running out of petrol and you're on your way to somewhere and you think, how can I save petrol? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I used to do, and I knew a lot of people who did, is we would put our car in neutral as much as possible. So that it wasn't, and apparently that's not the way to go. Apparently that still uses up fuel.
Correct. Rather freewheel. You're rather freewheel, right, George? Because neutral, you're still using petrol.
Well, even if your car's idling, you're using fuel. You know, you more than likely, if you're going downhill and your car is in neutral, you're more than likely using less fuel than when you're pushing the car forward using the accelerator. But remember, when your foot is off the fuel on a downhill, even if you're not in neutral, your car's fuel lines are still shut off. So it makes very little difference.
So whether you're in fifth gear going down a hill or maybe in third, or you've got it in neutral, there's not much difference.
Not going to be much difference because your foot is off the accelerator pedal, which means that the fuel lines are shut off. And maybe you could get some benefit out of some of the momentum because the car's not acting against its own, own resistance. So there's probably a little bit of a benefit, but I wouldn't imagine that there's a massive benefit. The other problem with putting your car in neutral is it's unsafe.
Yeah.
Because if you have to get out of a tight spot very quickly, you've got no power to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Also, you you know, instead of being in third gear going down a steep hill, or in fourth, say, you might not be able to stop as quickly if you'd just been freewheeling down.
The engine helps you come to a stop as well.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, just one little thing, I suppose, and that is came across this little story that Domino's Pizza has launched a real-world test in Woodland Heights in Houston, Texas, with a Nero R2 robot to deliver food, which is nice to see. So from the Domino's Pizza website, the company sends a text and a pin, and you are able to track your robot to your location.
Very good. I mean, listen, I can't wait for these drones to deliver food and stuff, because it'll take up less space on the roads, and I think it'll get to you faster.
Exactly.
Soon we'll have, you know, you'll look up and you'll see like lines of drone traffic over your head. I think that's cool. I'm looking forward to that time. All right, George Meany, if you want to follow him on social media, you can just Google George and you will find George Meany, M-I-E-N-I-E, and you will be able to find him on all your favorite social media platforms. That's if you want to find out more about any of the stories this morning. And he also has a regular show on cliffcentral.com, which you can catch on Monday. cliffcentral.com